And on now to our local news. Well, we're going to hear about the dream of a Longmont resident who had a dream of building a public long distance trail from Texas to Canada that would go through Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska and eastern Colorado, as well as North and South Dakota and Montana. The proposed trail would traverse three national parks and three national monuments. We're going to hear from him ahead of a talk he's giving this evening at the Longmont Public Library. Leland Drucker will then bring us the latest cannabis news here at KGNU. And then John Lendorf will be live in the studio for Radio Nibbles. After that, David Barsamian will join us live in the studio to talk about his latest book. It's a collection of interviews that he did with Edward Said. It's called Culture and Resistance. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. Here's Hannah Lee Myers.
After about an hour of debate, the Colorado Senate yesterday passed legislation overhauling how oil and gas is regulated in the state. Senate Bill 19-181, introduced by Boulder Democrat Steve Fenberg, would overhaul how the state regulates energy by charging the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission mission to prioritize health and safety, and would let local governments regulate drilling in their communities. The bill passed Wednesday on its third reading by a vote of 19-15. A last-minute amendment added the words reasonable and necessary to the language in the bill on protecting health and safety. The measure is now headed to the House of Representatives, where it is expected to pass. The Front Range is still reeling from yesterday's blizzard. Several local school districts will be closed for a second day today due to the weather. All schools in St. Vrain Valley, Denver Public Schools, and Jefferson County Schools will remain closed today due to the power outages at many of the schools. Adams 14 schools are closed today and tomorrow. Adams 12 and Douglas County Schools are closed today. All schools in Boulder and Fort Collins are open and operating on a normal schedule. And riders heading out for their morning commutes today should expect delays on all RTD services after yesterday's blizzard, and plan for extra time to reach your destination. RTD says all light rail lines are now running on 15-minute services, but riders should expect delays. The University of Colorado A line is departing every 30 minutes at this point, with potential delays in travel time about 20 minutes. Riders can get the latest service updates by visiting rtd/denver.com or by following RTD on Facebook and Twitter. And in related news, Colorado State Patrol Corporal Daniel Groves was killed by a car that lost control in Weld County Wednesday morning as he was attending to a vehicle that slid off the roadway on Interstate 76. CDOT Director Shoshana Liu called it a tragic reminder of the dangers during this type of snowy weather.
It is a tragic reminder that people's lives are at stake, and particularly those who work to keep us safe are in vulnerable situations. Working tirelessly to protect the safety of the traveling public, and, safety is a team effort.
Governor Jared Polis has ordered flags at half staff. He's also activated the Colorado National Guard to help with stranded motorists. As of last night, CDOT has reported no other fatalities. Expect a high today around 35 degrees, low tonight around 17. We do see a slight chance for a little bit of snow this morning as well as wind, but skies should clear up today with highs over the weekend in the mid to high 40s. It's currently around 30 degrees on the Front Range. For KGNU, I'm Hannah Lee Myers.
It's 16 minutes past 8 o'clock. Well, Longmont resident Steve Myers is the founder of the Great Plains Trail Alliance. And back in 2012, he had a dream, and that was to build a long-distance trail from Texas to Canada that would cross through Oklahoma, Nebraska, eastern Colorado, and North and South Dakota, as well as Montana. He's going to be speaking about that dream and what's happening with the Great Plains Trail Alliance at an event this evening at the Longmont Public Library.
So really, it was, for me, it was because I kind of fell in love with the Great Plains as a region, and I felt like there should be, there should be a way to, showcase that, kind of like we do with the Appalachians or with the Continental Divide or with the Pacific Crest Trail, kind of a thing, where we can show a different part of the country that is, that a lot of people sort of dismiss as boring or uninteresting or flat or there's nothing there but cornfields, and really show that that's not really the case. There can be, you know, really, really great adventures that can be had there.
I think when people think of Colorado, they think of the Rocky Mountains and they less often think of the plains. But tell us what is out there and what it is about the plains that captures your imagination so much.
Sure, yeah. And I enjoy the mountains as much as anybody else. But one thing that captures me out there is just the sense of space and the sense of just, you know, being small. And when you get into the areas that are, you know, a little less developed, and you start to see kind of the rolling hills, and you kind of see the horizon, and you see, you know, and you just kind of stand in the middle of that space. It's really quite awe-inspiring, you know, just to be there. And it's something that never really gets captured by photographs in the same way that the Grand Canyon can't be captured with a photograph. If you stand on the rim of the Grand Canyon, it's amazing. And you need to take a picture of it, even a professional photo of it. You get back and you're kind of like, you know, it's a cliff. But when you really you really feel that space and you really feel the size of the area, that I think is what really kind of captures me.
So you had this dream of creating this trail along the lines of, say, the Colorado Trail or the trail through Appalachia or the Pacific, the Pacific hiking trail as well. Where had you planned the route for this?
Just to give you a few highlights, if we go kind of south to north, essentially the route begins in Guadalupe Mountains National Park in West Texas. And then it goes through New Mexico and hits Kiowa National Grassland and crosses the Santa Fe National Historic Trail. It goes into eastern Colorado at the Comanche National Grasslands. I'm forgetting western Oklahoma, the high point of Oklahoma. Up to Pawnee National Grasslands in northern Colorado, and then into western Nebraska, where it hits Scott's Bluff National Monument and Oglala National Grassland there, and then through the Black Hills, South Dakota, and then into western North Dakota in Theodore Roosevelt National Park, and ends at the Canadian border, probably in North Dakota, possibly Montana, but probably North Dakota.
And so what is the status of this right now? Because I know that you envisioned all of this way back in 2012 when you first started the Great Plains Trail Alliance. Where are you now?
In 2012 was kind of the formation of the organization, and we have a small board and it's a volunteer board. We just kind of try to do what we can with some limited resources, but we've come a long way. We've been real pleased with where we've been, and what we want to do is the trail won't come alive unless it gets users, unless it gets people out there to really become a part of it. So we have that whole big vision, which is 2,200 miles. What we're going to try to do is begin with what we're calling our pilot trail, which is a 250-mile stretch, which is a much easier kind of thing to sort of start with, and it's the most established parts of the trail, and it's something that we want to try to get a little bit of a guidebook published for this year, a data book, so that people can actually go out there, take a shorter amount of time, and go experience part of what we've routed out. And then hopefully we can generate some users on the trail, then generate a community, and then it will become much easier to build it either north or south from that main section.
There's a lot of debate happening right now about public lands and stewardship or exploitation of public lands, depending on where you are, maybe on a political spectrum. What are some of the barriers or challenges for you to have these trails where you're going through, you know, several different states and crossing through national parks when we are having this conversation or debate about public lands and who has access to use the resources on our public lands? Is that something that has in any way impacted what you're trying to do?
A little bit, but I look at it as in, especially in places like national grasslands, that don't have maybe as much public support as, say, a national park, I think it's a lot easier for industries and things like that to go in there and you know, put in fracking wells or whatever. And so I suppose one of my goals would be to get people out there to see that this, there's some places out there that are public lands that are worth saving, worth having recreation in, as opposed to other ways of using it. So I think the plains are a little bit forgotten in that sense. So, and I think that, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons to get out there and explore them and to recreate that, recreate in them, as opposed to as to other things that we can do in those parks. And I think that's part of what happened with, you know, deserts and other places that we tended to forget decades ago. And now people, you know, want to go see those. So I think this is part of, this is an important part of America, because it's really unique to this continent. There's not that many places worldwide that are kind of like it. So it's something that I think people should really go see. I think people sometimes spend who knows how much money going to Mongolia to see grasslands in Mongolia, not knowing they can just go to Nebraska.
That's Steve Myers. He's going to speak about the Great Plains Trail Alliance at the Longmont Public Library, and that is an event that is happening this evening from 7 to 8 p.m. It's 8:22. A big thank you to all the folks who called in, having their contribution doubled today, including Lawrence from Louisville becoming a brand new member. Thank you so much. And Martha, who also gave this morning, she says she loves all of KGNU's shows. Thank you, Martha. And Holger in Denver, thank you for renewing your membership today. All your contributions are being doubled today because of this wonderful community match extravaganza. You too can have your contribution to KGNU doubled. Just call us at 303-449-4885. Leland Rucker is the senior editor at Sensi magazine, and he joins us on Thursday mornings to talk about the latest news in cannabis. Today we're taking a look at a phenomenon that has occurred in other industries, but it's now occurring in the cannabis industry here in Colorado. And this is where a regulator who had been at a state level regulating the cannabis industry, she's now left her state job to work in that industry herself.
Yeah, I think that's pretty interesting. It's Maureen West. She's a former Colorado Assistant Attorney General and Colorado Department of Agriculture Industrial Hemp Program Manager. She was really involved in that program. And she's left her position for a position as a compliance officer with Functional Remedies. That's a whole plant hemp oil company. And basically, her job as the Industrial Hemp Program Manager, she oversaw the day-to-day operation. She developed procedures and protocols for this. You know, the hemp industry has been rapidly expanding. And when an earlier version of the Farm Bill was passed that allowed farmers to grow hemp under certain conditions, you remember we've talked about this, the state of Colorado moved very quickly to change its laws to comply, and Colorado is now the top hemp producer in the country as a result of that. And West certainly deserves some of the credit for that. She's remember that when Colorado started, everybody was against all cannabis, anything, everything. And now we have people who have spent 5 years in the state regulating, moving over into the industry. And this company that she's going to, Functional Remedies, they're an advocate for verifying ingredients, setting standards so that consumers know what they're getting. And I think that's what one of the main points here is, that that's really important. Consumers right now don't have any idea what's going on with a lot of hemp products, a lot of things that's going on in the hemp industry. There's a lot of confusion about CBD and the other chemical compounds that are being sold. There's no standards, there's no regulations. It's really hard for consumers to find what they want. You know, there's full spectrum, there's isolate. Well, which one do I pick? There's several different methods of extraction. Some are considered more dangerous and perhaps more harmful than others. Well, which one do you choose? There's questions about dosage, methods of ingestion. Today you can smoke it, you can take it in a cincture, or You can take it in a tincture or a salve. You can drop it under your tongue. You can take a pill. And really, there's no standards. And this makes it really difficult for consumers. So I'm really happy to see somebody like this moving into this kind of a position.
It's interesting. It is interesting because, as I said, we've seen this a lot in other industries, and it has been widely criticized, a revolving door between regulators and the industry. It's usually the criticism coming when the industry then move back into regulation and then the regulators move back into the industry. Because I suppose the cannabis industry, the legal cannabis industry, is pretty new. This maybe is the first move of its kind. But just in terms of that issue that you said, that you're optimistic about this move of Maureen West into the labelling aspect of things. I mean, we saw this play out certainly with edibles, because it was such concern about how do consumers know what's even in this? And so there was very strong labelling and packaging on that. But of course, this is such a new industry that this is just, they're working out these kinks, I suppose. That issue of labelling, because right now, can anyone slap a label on a cannabis product and claim that there's this, that and the other in there, and without oversight or regulation or a way to verify that?
There is some regulation, but very little. And indeed, it's really difficult when you see something on a product that says this is good for seven different things. You just don't know. You just don't know. I mean, we have a lot of questions about this, but I think this is a sign of maturation in the industry, since this is an industry that 5 years ago was kind of disdained by the state, that was disdained by our legislature, that was disdained by our governor. People, you know, there's Republicans now on the side of, on the same side as Democrats, proposing all of these kind of things. And, you know, Jonathan Singer just introduced a bill to allow some social consumption. And that actually has a chance of passing this year, you know. Sometimes it just takes time.
Well, we shall see, particularly with the federal legislation and the federal regulation, at least on hemp, loosening up. Maybe we will see some more standardized testing facilities that will facilitate more accurate labeling on all of these products.
Yeah, the federal government's going to have to act on this, since this is the law now. The FDA has said that it's going to take over the idea of CBD as a health supplement, and they're not going to allow it for a while. I think it's going to be at least a year before we see anything seriously happening that will deal with this. But I think that the appointment of Maureen West coming into the industry is probably a really good sign.
Well, people can read more about this online at cincymag.com. Catch the hard copy at newsstands around the Front Range. And of course, Leland Rucker joins us on KGNU on Thursday mornings. Thanks, Leland.
Thank you, Maeve.
Banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. Give it to gravy, Davy. Everybody.
And everybody eats. Right here Thursday mornings, especially during our fund drives, because we have a supersized edition with extra dessert on Radio Nibbles with John Lendorf in the house. Hello.
And you know why, Maeve? Because it's Pi Day. Not National Pi Day, which of course is in January, but Pi Day. Which is good for math. And I'm also excited because you know what yesterday's wonderful Colorado weather means? It means it's only 3 weeks until the farmer's market opens. And we're very excited about that.
Well, trust you to always look on the bright side of everything. But of
course,
well,
no, I'm assuming it's going to snow the first day of the market, actually.
Okay. Well, that's okay. We'll be out there in force to support our local farmers, because listeners to KGNU will know that we are part of this ecosystem, and the farmers that feed us, we need to get out there and support them, just in the same way we need to support our community radio station as well. And we have lots of great ways to entice folks to call us right now at 303-449-4885. Least of all is the Community Match Extravaganza. So all of the contributions are being doubled today. But I know we've got lots of great thank you gifts as well.
That's right. We have a bunch of restaurant gift certificates, which we save just for Radio Nibbles. And this is your last chance during this spring drive. So, you know, this is your chance to vote. You know, at KGNU, we care when you call and what you say. If you like this kind of radio, I suggest you go to KGNU.org if it's too early, you don't want to talk to anybody. Or we got a bunch of folks here that are just waiting for your call. And it's 303-449-4885.
I know a lot of kids will be staying at school, staying home from school again today. As we mentioned earlier, a lot of school districts have closed for a second day as a result of the weather. So there might be parents out there who are looking for some levity down the road. Well, get yourself a gift certificate to a local restaurant and, you know, think ahead. Maybe in a week or two, you can get a night away with just you and a friend and go have dinner. So there's some great local restaurants that are offering us great gift certificates.
There are, including Rio Grande, which is in its temporary location where Ted's Montana used to be. We also have the Mercury Cafe. It's a brunch. You know, Mother's Day is coming. You might want to think about taking mom there, especially if she's of the progressive type. We also have three great restaurants in Denver. Steuben's, Ace, which is kind of a ping-pong focused restaurant, and Vesta Dipping Grill, which has been around forever. We also have a wonderful passport program. If you like to go out for a beer or some spirits or some wine, there are just dozens of restaurants, bars, cafes, and breweries in Boulder and Fort Collins that are available on with two-for-one drink specials. This is only for new members. I know there's some folks out there that are listening to this. You're not a member. You've never been a member. We'd like you to be a member, and if you do, then you'll end up getting back what you invest in KGNU.
But we'd love to give you one of those thank you gifts. And remember, this is the last Radio Nibbles of the fund drive. We're wrapping things up on Sunday, so these won't be available later on. Call us now, 303-449-4885. But we have a very special guest joining us in studio.
Yes. Hi, Kate.
Hi there. Thanks for having me back.
Kate Lacroix is here. We've talked to her before about First Bite, and we'll talk about that again on another day. You may know about her because she's recently been in the news talking about paying off school lunch debt, which has been wonderful. And how much have you raised so far for that?
We've raised over $50,000 so far.
That is so incredible.
It is incredible. I remember, was it back in November? I think KGNU might have been one of the first outlets to report this because I knew what Kate was doing following her on social media. We got her in. We went to the school district, Boulder Valley School District, and talked to some of the lunch preparers there and had this great story. And since then, it's gone viral. I mean, you've gone on national news outlets and people are so excited about this idea of paying down school lunch debt. I mean, it's really captured people's imagination.
Yes, you were the first outlet, and thank you. And that just goes to show how valuable you are for helping get the word out. So thank you for that. And yes, I did do the Rachel Ray Show, Good Morning America, Now This, and just a whole host of local TV and radio regional stuff as well. I think that the most important thing to come out of it was a question we posed, which is, we nourish children's minds for free. Why are we not nourishing their bodies during the school day?
Let's feed the kids. One reason we have Kate in this morning is because she started a really interesting, unusual business, and we're going to have some thank you gifts that are related to that. It's called Stocked. If you've listened to this show over time, you know how much I talk about, you know, cooking with what's in your kitchen. This takes that and then adds a wonderful element that is especially great for families. So, Kate, why don't you what is Stocked?
Sure. Stocked is Pantry with Purpose. It is a pantry building service aimed at helping women primarily, but families save money on their grocery bill by stocking a good pantry, and then we invest that savings.
So let's talk about the stocking part. You know, people tend not to have what they need on hand, and the part of it is figuring out what they need.
You know, I think it goes along with this culture, this current culture. You know, everyone's rushing around, and we've forgotten the basics. And I know, Maeve, we've spoken about that as well, the basics, and how important that is to be able to pull from your pantry on a regular basis.
To make a dish like, for instance?
Oh, curried lentils with poached eggs. Mm-hmm. You know, any pasta, you know, that's, of course, completely easy, but all the different grains and legumes and
so essentially,
sauces.
I mean, to me, essentially, you're coming in as almost a cooking therapist. You're looking at what's in the pantry. You're talking to them about the kinds of foods they want to eat with their family, mm-hmm. and then you go shopping. And the whole deal.
Yeah, basically I go in, I do an analysis, and there's no shame, you know, no pantry shaming allowed. And I make sure that I take into account their diet, into account their ethnic origin and food priorities. But I make sure that they cover the spread, that they have the spices, the condiments, the nuts, the seeds, the legumes, the noodles, the flours, the grains, the oils, the vinegars.
And so you do this, and they save $10 a week, say. But this is the cool part.
Yes. So actually, I feel that if people eat less meat, bring back a robust pantry, which I include in that, the freezer, and they have less packaged goods, that they actually can save $25 per person in their family per week. And then we go and we sign up. I've partnered with an all-female investment team out of New York, and we sit down and we sign up and we commit to transferring that money every single week or every month into short and long-term investment.
Wow.
It's an incredible idea. And we've talked a lot about this, Kate, and on air and off air. And one of the things I'm excited about as well is the fact that, well, I think we do waste a lot of money, but we waste a lot of food. And we have done a lot of programming on KGNU about the impact of all the food waste. And in this time where we have people in the community going hungry, we have other people who aren't necessarily shopping in a way that eliminates food waste. This also gets to that issue. It eliminates economic waste as well, and really gets to the heart of, you know, this culture that we have: disposable, fast, eat in your car, mm-hmm. not spending the time that you need with your family to have a meal together, because maybe you don't have the skills or you don't have enough stuff in your pantry.
Yep, absolutely. I'd like people to take a bit more time and a bit more care with the things they have. I'd like people to realize that this isn't just a whistle stop. A meal is something where we take a pause and we have pride in what we make, and it doesn't have to be expensive or complicated.
And turn off the devices. And
to that end, I know you are being very generous once again to KGNU, and because it is our fund drive, and you make the connections between supporting community institutions like KGNU and all these themes that you're in, you know, really dealing with in Stocked Pantry with Purpose. We have some gifts.
Absolutely. If you become a member or renew your membership right now, Kate will come and see you and help you stock. And it really will transform your cooking and eating life.
And what that looks like is I'll come to your house and we'll do this analysis. Then we'll go do a market tour. We'll go to your local market and we'll talk about the things to buy and, most importantly, the things to stay away from. We'll come back. We'll prepare a pantry gift. Right now I'm very into preserved lemons. So we'll make a jar for you, a jar for your neighbor, and a neighbor of your choice. And then we'll sit and we'll talk about what to invest. And then, fear not, on a weekly basis, you'll get tips, tricks, and recipes from me to keep the Pantry with Purpose going and viable.
So that can be yours right now if you call KGNU and, you know, sit down at our community table and, you know, have dinner with us, in effect.
We would love to have this as your thank you gift. I'm blown away by the idea behind it. It's so simple and so powerful and gets to so many of the issues that we're dealing with in modern society. And I'm just thrilled to have Kate here. We'd love to get you a visit from Kate to come to your home, check out your pantry and help you stock it. Pantry with Purpose. But be that caller at 303-449-4885 and claim this as your thank you.
Since it's Pi Day, PI, Math Day, you had a good example of, you know, small savings add up over time.
Yes, I think that's one of the misperceptions about savings that people have, that you have to start with a big chunk to get going. But recently, I found out a way to pay myself back and put the money away into savings. I walked from my home in North Boulder down to Pearl Street to get my car. And so I know that Uber is around $8.60. So I rewarded myself by the time I got to Pearl Street by putting the $8.60 straight into my investment fund.
And that's what it is. And you were saying that a family of four, the compounds over time.
Yeah, I mean, a family of four, if you are following my program and saving $100 per family member, that over 20 years is $201,647, you know, compounded at 6%. But that is $250,000. You know,
and you're eating better, too. I love that as well, because we tend to rely on fast foods that are high in fat and sugar and salt. Instead, when you have a properly stocked pantry, it's much more nutritious for everybody in the family.
It's nutritious. And I think that it's time to start thinking that we don't have to choose between eating something delicious and nutritious and saving for our future. We have to have smaller portions, less meat, and we need to slow down and take time with our meals, and we will save the money.
Well, we're so excited to hear about Stocked Pantry with Purpose, and we'd love to have Kate come visit you as your thank you gift when you give us a call at 303-449-4885. You're also having your contribution doubled. And while we're talking about investments, you're really investing in your community, and maybe give a little bit every month as well, because that's very much on the lines of what we're doing. A little bit every month will make a big difference. So many of our sustaining members give starting at $5 a month. We can set you up. 303-449-4885.
Yes, we call that a solar membership. And for many years, I've been one. I've, you know, a tiny amount comes out every month. And I do think of it as an investment. And I think I make money on it.
Well, we know that listeners out there are totally on board with this. We have a lot of solar members, a lot of them actually calling during the fund drive to say, you know what, I can spare an extra couple of bucks a month. And so I'm going to send that your way. So this is so exciting to hear about Stocked Pantry with Purpose. You know what, Kate, we're going to have you back on. We'll do a call-in show maybe. And that'll be, I think, an exciting way to further explore this and answer people's questions about this. And I think we're not teaching the basics of home economics or cooking in school. So people don't know what to do with a bag of dried lentils or a bag of dried beans because of the nature of how things are moving so quickly in society. And so I think getting back to the basics is such an exciting opportunity now. And everyone slowing down and have a good meal with your family.
And it tastes better too.
It tastes better too. So this is a great Radio Nibbles this morning. Lots of great thank you gifts. We'd love to hear from you at 303-449-4885. Kate, thanks for coming in, for sharing these gifts. And thanks for all your work to eliminate school lunch debt.
Oh, thank you. I know I'm always thinking about food. So this is just another angle. And I also want to say to any grocery store out there in Boulder who might be interested in helping me do a matching one for one project, I'd like to start giving women in need a pantry for every pantry sold through my program.
Excellent.
You heard it here first. 303-449-4885. As always, John Lendorf, thank you for being with us on Radio Nibbles.
Thank you, Maeve.
Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. Give it the gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Try a tomato plate, too.